You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you are interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support. This movie review also comes for subscribers at Time Lord level or above, an uncut, unedited, longer video version of the review. Become a subscriber and check it out.
How's everyone doing tonight? All right. Good to see your faces. You know, like literally, it's good to see full faces again. I got so used to masks on everyone that I started to have genuine nightmares about what my tan lines were going to look like this summer. And not so much a bikini, but more like a three-piece. So yeah, that's fun. And I'm really looking forward to smelling all your breath again. And I have to assume that after a year of huffing our own halitosis, we all fixed that shit.
You would hope so.
Anyway, we got a great lineup for the show tonight. We got LaWayne White in the house. LaWayne.
Hi.
Yeah, his brand of comedy, always amused. Not too much pressure, right, LaWayne?
No, not at all.
And we got Adrian El Critico in the mix. Adrian, tell some jokes.
Oh, man. Let's see. Jokes. How about... Oh, shit. You know what? Never mind. I got nothing.
All right.
I was going to try to do something with too late. Like, what did the person say when they were halfway through this movie? Oh, it's too late to turn it off or something like that. But
too late. I'm committed.
Yep. There you go.
Too late. I have to review this.
I am TC. This is the Screener Squad's open mic of Too Late, the horror comedy about a lonely assistant of a famed comedian who is a literal monster. She finally finds love and must find a way to escape her boss's clutches before she and her new love become his next meal, starring Alyssa Limperis, Ron Lynch, and Will Weldon, as well as one day of filming appearances by Fred Armisen and Mary Lynn Ricecub. It was directed by D.W. Thomas, written by Tom Becker. Now, put your hands together for the reviewers. Gentlemen, this is Too Late. Here we go.
Yeah, okay.
All right, Adrian, you already started giving some hints of your feelings on this movie. So, where are we at?
So, this is a horror comedy, and at least that's what I thought. That's what I thought going into it because of the trailer. And I thought, okay, it's got to do with comedians. I don't think I've liked a movie about comedians for a while, especially that piece of shit one about people who do improv with Mike Birbiglia. Like, there's movie, and I thought, I'll never watch a movie about comedians ever again. But here we are watching this, and as it turns out, this isn't really much of a horror comedy. This is a comedy that has a horror element in it.
Yeah.
But both of these parts, I would say, are kind of half-assed. Because I don't remember laughing, and I sure don't remember being scared.
Yeah, it almost feels like a sort of a middling romantic comedy with some horror elements. I did laugh one time, and well, twice, actually. I realized there were two times I laughed at this. One of these was when they do the little segments of different comedians. They had a trans comedian.
Yes.
Whose set was good. I actually would like to see her entire set. She was genuinely funny. And I'm like, all right, more of her. In fact, why don't we just do some... Yeah, let's just do her whole set and we'll skip some of the other stuff. And then there's a bit later where Bob comes back and sits on a bus bench waiting for a ride. And the old lady on the bench, despite how awful he looks, just looks like, ah, seriously, this shit again. And I'm like, okay, that was kind of funny. The rest of it,
that was a very LA moment. This movie takes place in LA, and that moment I audibly went, so LA.
Yeah.
You just know, accept that someone who looks like that trashed next to you is going to sit on your park bench with you and just kind of keep your arms distance and just ignore.
Like, whatever, man, you get on the bus, I'll catch up. I don't know.
You put it best. It sort of half-asses the comedy, half-asses the horror, and doesn't quite nail either of them. because some of the stand-up bits that we cut, we get to hear some background performances happening by some stand-up comedians that are, there's some chuckles in there, but
here's what the movie comes down to. And this is like almost a plot point in the movie that, hey, don't comedians suck? And they suck so much that we shouldn't even kind of hold them in any kind of regard, to the point where it's like, it's okay to eat them.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay for this monster to feed off them. There are two highlights, like Wayne mentioned. One is a comic, Denora Walcott. She's early on in the film. She has an actually funny set. And then there's the trans woman who comes on to do comedy. Her name is Riley Silverman. I thought she was really funny, too.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's about the only enjoyment I'd say I got out of this. Because as a relationship comedy, I could not care less about these two people. Like, I'm sorry, but this is one of those movies that reminded me, like, you know what? Sometimes white people and their problems can just be really boring, and I just don't care.
You are right.
I don't care what's going on with them.
It does one of the biggest mistakes in relationship movies and relationship storytelling, and it's jumping weeks at a time, literally going 2 weeks later, three weeks later. Mm-hmm. And when you're trying to develop a love duo, it behooves us to see it, if only in montage, because then we have less investment in it if you skip ahead. And to that point, our lead, who is played well, the main performance is played well. This is Alyssa Lim Paris. She's good, but the character herself never proves herself to be worthy of what she thinks she deserves, right? She's complicit in the monster in her way, but she feels she deserves more. We don't quite see why we should be rooting for this character. Even to the point where whether or not she's funny is a punchline in this movie.
Well, and that's just it. Because, I mean, every one of us has had a shitty job that you just kept doing in the hope that it would eventually get better until you finally just didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've already done that. I don't need to watch somebody do it.
I've done stand-up for 5 years or so. When I first moved to L.A., for the first 2.5 years I was here, I did this scene. Take the monster aside, remove the monster elements. This is a very accurate portrayal of the sort of pathetic world of open mic stand-up comedy. If you look at something like Louis, the show Louis shows what stand-up comics' lives can be like when they have regular paid work. Mm-hmm. This is what stand-up comedy looks like for those people who are just trying it out, doing a coffee shop set, doing an open mic stage set to a room full of 6 or 7 people, working their shtick out, whether it's funny or not. And in that regard, they got that element of this movie very accurate.
Well, that was kind of the impression I got, that the world itself was accurate. I mean, I can't speak to monsters eating shitty comedians, but I assume the rest of it is relatively accurate. But again, it was like, well, that was an interesting bit, I guess. I don't know. I don't actively like hate this movie. Was like, okay. I mean, we even talked about it before. I was completely confused about what the hell movie I was going to be watching, because even the title is generic. Too Late. What does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
There's a reference within the movie that I suppose it ties to, but like...
Right. Which even then...
Right. But otherwise, it's like, it's a poster with Too Late and some comedians and this weird, lumpy looking dude on the poster. And I'm like, if that's all I had, I'd be like, what is this? I don't know what this is. What is this about? Because I had it confused with the Megan Fox action thing we're going to watch here in a week or two, whatever. Because I'm like, I don't know what this titles, the titles don't mean anything. And give me something to hook me. I mean, a couple of comedian sets, that's great. I will admit, and I even made this comment, I know in our Slack before when we were talking about this, I absolutely will give this points for somebody being able to make and release a movie to get distribution and reviewing and have something that you could shoot over a couple of weekends with like $50.
Oh, right. Know? Right.
Yeah. I mean, I will give them that, because I was watching this movie. I'm like, aside from a handful of creature effects, I could just probably have shot a movie like this using. And that's not meant to be critical either. It was just one of those things. I'm like, oh, well, good on you. You got that made, I guess.
Yeah, so. Coming from an indie filmmaker's perspective, coming from an indie filmmaking background, there is something to acknowledge about this film, and it's that they made a good-looking film with what budget they probably had. They pulled some favors to get Fred Armisen to come in, to get Marilyn Rice Cub, to get Brooks Wheeler, who was an SNL alum for one season at least, to come in and be a quote-unquote name to throw up on the list of actors. And that's admirable right there, too, to be able to pull this off in that regard. So kudos to them in that.
I'm glad that you two don't hate the movie. Like, I genuinely am. And I do have respect for pretty much any movie that gets to be made and released, because I know that there was love that went into it. There was some kind of passion that went into it. Mm-hmm. It's not just like a tax write-off or anything like that. And, you know, someone may hear this and they're like, well, why don't you make a movie? And to that I say, like, well, I'm not going to, because it would be as boring and as bad as how this was. I'm sorry, y'all, but I've said this before in other reviews for other kind of middling movies. I would much rather see a genuinely bad film that kind of does some crazy shit, or at least gives me like one or two moments where it's like, well, I haven't seen that, and this movie clearly doesn't give a fuck.
Fried Barry.
But this was more just like, I feel like my entire blame on my experience with this movie, it's got to be with the writer. Because the movie didn't look bad. The acting wasn't bad. But in terms of dialogue, I found none of this funny. Yes, it is realistic. Mm-hmm. This is probably how it is to hang out as a stand-up comedian who's trying stand-up. But for something like that, watch Crashing on HBO with Pete Holmes. That does that same experience, but there's actually good writing behind it, and it's funny to watch. It's entertaining to watch. This is a world that I don't need to spend 80 minutes in. I don't know why you guys had to put a juggler for 25 seconds.
Right.
It seems so long. It seems so unnecessary. Honestly, for me, there's nothing worse than bad stand-up comedy. And I'm sorry, aside from the two comedians that I mentioned that actually had good sets, I didn't find any of the other ones funny, including this dude that she's in love with, who's like the most hilarious dude, but who had like the one of the weakest sets. That's also part of like why I didn't buy their relationship at all. I feel like it came out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. It was to the point where it's like, because I don't care about these characters, watching them make out actually like grosses me out in the sense that like, well, I wouldn't want to watch a random couple on the street make out. Like, go to your room.
Yeah, you're not invested in their relationship in any way.
In any sense. I wasn't really invested in this in general. And I, for the most part, I feel like it's got to be the writing.
Yeah.
Like I said, no one gives a bad performance. If anything, they give realistic performances. But there was just nothing here for me.
There is something in its premise. There is something in its setting. There are capable actors here. But you're right, Adrian. I know LaWayne's a writer as well. To see this from just the script's place, there's some weakness straight through and through this thing. The weeks jumps we get, mm-hmm. even the very opening moment we get has nothing to do with the movie. If you guys can even remember what the first moment in this movie is, it's got nothing to do with the movie. I don't know what we were supposed to take away from the thing we saw at the beginning, because it's not anything else we see the rest of the film. You guys are scratching your heads because you can't really even remember what that is.
I've already forgotten it,
which is weird, because you know, you almost suspect that if it doesn't belong there, it's because it was put there to get our attention and hang on to get us in. Mm-hmm. Except I don't remember it to know if it even did.
Reviewing another horror comedy just before I did this review, Werewolves Within, which is a very well done script that's elevated by the talent in front of the camera. Watching this and Werewolves Within back to back hurt this movie, because mm-hmm. the script isn't that strong to begin with, and it's not elevated enough by the performers for me to say, this movie was hilarious, this movie was creepy, this movie was cool, you got to check it out. I can respect that this movie was crafted and created by the people who made it, because I understand the difficulty of producing independent film. And I tip my hat to what they did with this budget. But as we're saying here, it doesn't do enough with the material to really hold my interest beyond watching it. I didn't pause. I didn't get bored exactly to the point where I walked away from the movie and drew my attention away from the screen. So it just held my attention enough to keep me watching all the way till the credits rolled. That's not exactly a compliment. I feel bad saying so.
I don't know, man. Do we have much else?
Yeah, and I don't know. I feel I'm definitely more on the strong side of like disliking this, like genuinely disliking this. And I was bored. Like I did get up. I paused it to get up and to make a drink. Because I thought, Sunday afternoon, I want to have this canned Mai Tai. And then the canned Mai Tai gave me a headache. And it's just, it just added just more sourness.
A terrible experience. Well, with the Mai Tai in mind, why don't you give me your final thoughts, Adrian?
Any movie that manages to be under 90 minutes and still feels like a slog is automatically just like a crime. Like, you shouldn't do that. And yeah, you know what? You could argue, well, this isn't anything that you want to see. Why would you see it? And it's because I love stand-up comedy. I have respect for comedians. I think comedians are some of the most brilliant people in the world right now. The sad side of it, I like watching stuff about that too. Like, we already mentioned Louis, or for a non-problematic version of that.
Yeah, sorry.
Crashing, like I mentioned. And you get all that, but with way more substance. This is one of those movies where it's like, every kind of lesson it's trying to satire is like very, very surface level. Like, oh no, the bad comedian might also be a rapey perv. No shit. That's how we know about this. There's just other lessons that have to do with comedy where it's like, okay, women are ignored and stuff like that. And it just kind of feels like, well, you're just saying this because you have to, because you're about comedy. And I felt like there was no substance. I didn't care about any of the characters. The horror elements, not scary and not really well done. I would say like the monster design itself is just like, you just kind of bloated. I mean, I don't know. Congratulations on making a movie and getting it out there. Would I say people should see it? No, but I'm sure it's not made for people. It's made for you and your comedian friends. So I'm going to give this one bad stand-up set out of very many, but out of 5.
Luane.
It's fine. I know that's not a ringing endorsement, but it could be. Man, I hated this. I don't hate it. I don't want to watch it again. I remember a couple things that stuck with me, usually because they were actually high points. I don't know. The world of the comedian could be interesting. You throw in a monster, it could maybe be even more interesting, but this one just didn't quite hit it for me. I don't know. You know, hey, you did make a movie, which that's awesome. I mean, I haven't had all my guys on One of Us bitching about my movies yet, so you're ahead of me on that one. I don't know. In the end, I get 2 out of 5 comedians that I actually liked in this movie.
That's actually very accurate. As far as indie movies go, this is just okay at its best moments. They utilized their cast within the restrictions of what was most definitely a tight budget. They pulled some favors to get some recognizable faces. Practical effects are pretty well done, but the locations are actually the highest production value they get here. The club out on the streets, even the home that they film in. Sound design is pretty good. The score is great, and the performances are fine. If you're an indie filmmaker or an aspiring low-budget filmmaker, I think this is worth an academic watch, if only to take notes of what you would do and what you would not do. And if you're in the niche world of stand-up, monster movie tropes aside, this is a very accurate representation of what it's like to hustle in that world. All in all, those are the reasons this movie works at all. But outside the indie film interest or the stand-up interest, it doesn't put itself in a place to be something I'm going to enthusiastically recommend. It's just okay, but it's not achieving any massive heights. But I've been a stand-up, I've been an indie filmmaker, so with that, I'm going to give Too Late 5 out of 10 coffee shop open mic night cringe. So thanks for turning out tonight, folks. Be sure to tip your waitresses. Anybody want to plug their YouTube channel or their Instagram or their comedic Twitter real quick, guys? You with me? Crickets. Love it.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I see. This movie doesn't deserve my thinking to come up with a bit. We're just going to go ahead and end this here.